As we're rehearsing there, I'm like, phew. For some funny reason, for the first time, I'm struggling with my singing. My voice was not really doing what I'm used to. I'm like, girl, what is going on? The band is playing. As I walk in the church, I notice that I can't hear well on my left ear. And the doctor looked at them like, you have a tumor in your left ear. They found that the tumor where it's situated, it's sitting, it's going for my voice. It's going to the nerves that communicates to the voice. And I remember every time we got there, I was sitting and there's a lot of cancer patients. I was like, Lord, why am I here?
Sure.
What came the few hours after that, I was listening to nothing but pain. It felt like my jaw was coming
like
here.
The pain is swollen. Excruciating.
Yeah. I've been through the most.
Hola there, Sun fam. Hello, Sun Bonani Dumelang, and welcome to yet another episode of I've Been Through the Most podcast right here on Sentence TV. Now, whether you're watching us on YouTube, listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify,
welcome.
It's such an honor for you to join us today.
And thank you for everyone who's interacting with us on our different social media platforms. We are available on Twitter, Facebook, it's X now,
X
right?
Now.
Instagram, we are everywhere. Please make sure that you comment and show us a like. Show us some love. We really, really enjoy going through the comment section. And also right here on YouTube, Millicent.
Yeah.
We love the comments. Well, especially me, of course. And we make sure that we respond to each and every one of you. We love hearing from our different African countries because we are flourishing in Africa, which is really, really exciting for us. And of course, if you want to sit on the hot seat, it's very easy. The email address is down below. Please do write us an email and then we will deliberate and see if your story is, you know, has that thing of I have been through the most. But of course, it's all about inspiration, purpose, and power.
Yeah, today we have an incredible woman to come and share her story. She is no stranger to the world, honey, okay? She's known for her beautiful voice, and today she's here to share her story. You know, sometimes you see people, you like them, and they look so beautiful, and you're thinking, they haven't gone through much. But you know what? This, the Bible says, you know, we've been overcome by the word of our testimony. Mm-hmm. There's always a story behind it. Welcome, Sis Bongi.
Yay, thank you.
Our homegirl is here today.
Yes, finally I'm here.
Finally.
Yes.
I was so excited when we could finally get you on the show.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Sissy, she used to come to the podcast. When we reached out, you gladly, you know, agreed. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And for those who don't know who you are, can you please give us a brief introduction?
Okay. My name is Ubongi, like you said. I'm an artist. A lot of people out there in the music industry knows us as Bongi and Colin, a duo, which is myself and my husband. That's how we've been, you know, in the music industry. But today I'm here to talk about Ubongi, the person. Yeah. So maybe just to give a background to where Ubongi comes from. So Ubongi is a firstborn daughter, ga mama no babu Zwane, with Benke Mpumalanga, siblings of six. I'm the first one, five girls and one boy. So I grew up in a Christian family. My parents are pastors. So there was music, you know, as growing up in the house. There's stories my mom tells me about me. I'm like, what did I do that? because we used to go a lot to my conferences. And then my mom said, I'll pitch a song.
Wow.
But the problem was like, I wouldn't stop. Like, okay, now they need to talk.
You were that worshiper.
Yeah, so it's been there. My parents saw it really before I could discover that that's what I wanted. I'm here to do it, Chilia.
And what about your other siblings? Were they also singers or not really?
They can hold a note. They can sing. But they didn't pursue music. But I see a thing to them. But funny enough, as I was growing up, I think I saw a picture growing up of my mom and my dad. They were both teachers. So as they were training, there's a picture. They were in some choir, some sort of a choir. So I could see my mom there and my dad there. My parents, both of them, they can sing. So it's there in the family. But I think, as I said, it was only me who pursued that. It has been my first love.
So I remember vividly, Sissy, growing up in Mamelodi when you took part in some big projects mm-hmm. and worked with big artists as well. You know?
I think at the time she was working with Upisho Benjamin Dube, yes. You and Colin.
Yes.
We're like,
yeah.
And then it was Gege as well, yes. when you worked on the project. Mm. And then now it's Muso Worship and yeah. many other projects.
Yeah.
But we continue to be proud. Of course, we knew your husband from Mamelodi. And we yeah. knew you as that power couple, you know, yeah. that saying. And we continue to be proud. Like every yeah. time you see them, you know, like big stages, it was always such an exciting moment, you know, so thrilling, and the achievement just kept coming, yes. and, you know, the opportunities yes. as well, internationally and global yes. stages, yes. you managed yes. to grace. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, sure. Guys, we've been in the US, we've been in France, Cannes. Yeah, we've traveled a lot, and the rest of Africa. Yeah. God has really granted us that opportunity through our gift, you know, to go and minister there and sing those big platforms, international platforms, and where opportunity was created. It's been an amazing experience. It has really grown and stretched us to understand ourselves better as artists, that we are not just singers, but we are a business.
Yes.
How we do things need to be different, how we present ourselves,
yeah.
you know, as creatives. We've learned so much through conferences that happen in Texas, like South by Southwest, Midem, which happens in France. So we've been exposed and met a lot of artists out there where we have learned, you know, more to, you know, sharpen our craft yeah. in the music industry, to not just sing, but to take your audience seriously. Yeah.
Yo, love it. International sure. answers for international artists. I love it. Good. But obviously there were like challenges along the way. So I wanted to get straight into your story.
Yes.
Why you're sitting here today. Like I said in the beginning, you know, when you see people on TV, you see people traveling, you see
right.
people on big stages or small stages doing the most, you're thinking they've always just had it easy and yeah. their lives are so seamless.
It's
they wake up, yay. They have a glam team, put on makeup, perform, and that's that.
Yeah.
You know, but behind this, like real human beings going
right.
through real struggles.
Mm. Yeah, sure. So I'm here, like you said earlier, you spoke about testimony.
Yes.
Of which is really, I'm here to testify of yes. the goodness of God, what God has done. When they say what God cannot do does not exist.
Come on.
To speak about a God that we read about who did miracles in the Old Testament, we still serve the same God
yes.
who does those miracles. He's still in the business of doing miracles, and I have seen him in my life. As I said, I'm a singer. I've been singing all my life, guys. When I finished my high school, I went to study music at Eastside College, and I started with the likes of working with the late Gloria Posman. She was my vocal teacher, Peggy Koza, in jazz space. Benjamin, I worked with Pastor Benjamin Dube. I worked with a lot of artists. So that's what I've been doing. That's what I know.
That's what you know.
That's what I know. It's a dream that's been there since I was a child. And even when I finished school, when I told my parents that I want to go study music, they didn't even think twice because I've been singing in the house, in the church, everywhere. So, yeah, then we were singing together as my husband, as a duo, recorded, traveling the world. This is what we do, actually,
yeah.
our bread and butter.
Yeah, sure.
We don't do any other thing outside Yo. Music. So there was a year, I think it's 2023. So we traveled to the US. We went to New Jersey. New Jersey, there was a church that had a safari worship experience. So we were one of the artists who were performing there, the worship thingy. I've been to the US before. We travel, obviously, time to friends and the weather that time. That time, South Africa was in June. In New Jersey then, it was hot, like it's super
summer,
hot. Pretoria
yeah.
was, I mean, Pretoria. Yes, I'm from Pretoria.
Yeah.
South Africa is winter. So when we get there, I normally takes about a day or so, then I'm settled, I'm good.
Okay.
So we get there, the first day we rested, second day, then we're gonna go to the church and rehearse. As we're rehearsing there, I'm like, phew, for some funny reason, for the first time, I'm struggling with my singing. Maybe I didn't rest enough, but I'm like, no, man. We always come a day before, rest, and maybe is it because the weather? Okay, fine, we rested. And then the day after the rehearsal, we went to church. It was a Sunday. Then the experience was on was in the evening, same Sunday. During the service in the morning, the pastor asked us to do one song just to greet the church and to invite them to come in the evening. Yo, as I'm doing this, I'm like, I'm really struggling to sing. What is going on? I took your ginger tea, what we normally take.
Or honey.
To honey, whatever, to kind of like water. Help. You know, taking it easy. And then the evening came, try to push. I sang, but it was the hardest. Like, my voice was not really doing what I'm used to. I'm like, girl, what is going on? Okay, fine. Managed to go through that. Because then my husband's like, what is going on, Bongi? You're holding back. You're not what you normally be like when you sing. I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I'm struggling. Okay, fine. Rested. Oh, before we left New Jersey, the service before the experience in the morning, as we attended the service, was when we walk into the church, the worship team of the church was on stage singing.
Yeah.
Then the song that came after when we got there was a song that they sang. As I was singing that song, I felt so sad in my spirit. I was troubled. I'm like, why is this song making me feel this way?
Yes.
I'm trying to search the feelings and what is going on. The message is good, it's positive, but I'm feeling otherwise.
Yeah.
Oh, it was that I couldn't, that thing was so powerful. I was like, what is going on? Okay, fine. Then we came back to South Africa. I was flu-ish, treated the flu. I remember we were emceeing Lebo Kapula's wedding, and I was singing there. And there's a song we do, Endless Love. It's high.
It's very high.
Did
we
I
were
not
at that wedding?
I'm standing in front of people. We have a language that we use with my husband without saying any words on stage.
Yes.
I looked at him, I signed to him that I can't.
Sure.
I'm struggling. Like, I gave him that look, I'm not going there. I'm struggling. He saw me, then he put his arm around me. And then he tried to improvise. We call it improvisation. He improvised. Then I got more worried. Okay, fine, finished. After the wedding, because I was flu-ish, like I said, I treated the flu. And I remember after that, there was a Sunday I went to church early. The band is playing. As I walk in the church, I noticed that I can't hear well on my left ear. What I'm hearing here, I'm like, but there's nothing. I didn't put anything in my ear. And I remember I told Blue, I'm like, Blue, I can't really hear well with my left ear.
Yeah.
It's like, but you had flu. Maybe it was an infection. Go and check. Go to an ENT.
Yes.
And check. Maybe there's an infection. So Colin's like, okay, man, there's an audio, I don't know what they call them, audio, that is in Pretoria. She works with a lot of artists.
Okay.
She goes and check their ears because we are exposed to sound.
As
singers over the years, and it affects our ears. Then we went there, they took the test and the graphs. And then when she was done, she was like, the left ear is not picking up, it's flat, like it's deaf, it's not hearing, according to their graphs, and it's not, it's, but she's like, then I'll send you to someone medically that they will check. An ENT, then they'll check. She wrote me a letter, called them, went there. He checked me, the doctor. You know the look that you don't want to see?
The worried look.
Yeah, the worried look, like, what are you seeing? Because I was thinking going there, like, they're going to say, okay, fine, this is a problem. We're going to prescribe this, and then you'll be fine.
And
then he still sends me to MRI scans, to do MRI scans. It's like, there's something I see. Actually, she says, I don't see your eardrum. I don't see your eardrum. It is red, and I'm not sure what is happening. And I said to him, but I'm struggling to sing. I'm a singer. I don't know what's the problem. I'm struggling to sing. And then they put the camera in my nose to check my vocal cords. He's like, your vocal cords are good. They're perfect. You can tell that you're a singer. They're in good shape, but I don't know what is causing you not to be able to sing. And then he's like, I don't want to jump into conclusion, but chances are because ENT is a sebenzelan. So chances are whatever's happening in the ear is affecting the voice.
Okay.
But I'll send you for MRI scan, then you come back to me, we'll take it from there. And I remember at that time at church, we had released a song which they were pushing a lot. It was a song that I was doing and we had to launch. I went to church for rehearsal. Man, what came out there? I don't know, it was horrible. That was not me.
Sure.
I was like, what is going on? We looked at each other. Everybody looked at me and we looked at each other, Nicole. And
sure.
I had to stop the song. And then I remember Muruti said, okay, Sibongi, let's not have you sing at the launch. Let's try to find out what's the problem. And then we'll take it from there. And I broke down and cried in front of everyone. I'm like, what do you mean I can't sing?
Like, this is me.
Yes.
This is my life.
Okay, fine. We had to raise money to go to a private to do the MRI scans. Went there, took them back to the doctor. And the doctor looked at them like, you have a tumor in your left ear. Which means now we have to take it further. We'll take you to an academic hospital. Then they can take it from there. From here,
yeah.
I cannot do anything.
Mm.
But the tumor is there. I was like, okay, fine. They called Steve Biko. Then I went there. When I went there, the professor was there. They checked. Once again, two different doctors, cameras. Your vocal cords are fine.
Mm.
And then there was a professor who came and confirmed that we're trying to figure out why you can't sing. And then he's like, they found that the tumor where it's situated, it's going for my voice.
Oh.
It's going to the nerves that communicates to the voice. So it's going for my voice. Then it makes sense why I'm not singing.
It's affecting your singing.
It's affecting my singing. And then, but he's like, wherever it's sitting as well, we cannot do surgery. It's in sensitive places because one mistake, it can affect your whole left. Will not function. So they're trying to check now what we're gonna do. They said the option that we can suggest is to do radiation. I'm sitting there, and then they're like, "Yeah, so unfortunately you can't sing anymore. Hence, it explains why you can't sing." And I remember sitting there, chair. My husband was the one who was asking questions. Mm. I was kind of like zoned off.
I can imagine.
And I was sitting there, and I remember in my heart, my spirit was like, Lord, I can't. You take over.
Yeah,
I'm giving this to you. I don't know what is. This does not make sense to me. What do they mean? What do they mean? Like, is this it?
Mm.
Is this it? And then I was sent to oncology. So oncology, when I got to oncology, there's more tests that I did. Mm. Blood tests, scans after scans. We were going to the hospital like, I don't know, see a whoopee.
I was about to say, it's just like such a big change in your life. Like you were fine now, and all of a sudden it's now specialist after specialist.
Specialist, like test after test.
360 degree change to your lifestyle.
Yeah, it changed. Oncology now, I was allocated a doctor who's going to take me through the treatment. And then now they said I was going to do about 25, I think, treatment. Where I was going to come at the hospital every day, Monday to Friday, except for Saturdays and weekends, putting radiation into my body. Went to check for a side button. After effects or whatever.
It was
horrible what I read there. I was like, yo, is this gonna be me? Okay, fine. Because I had to, prior to that, I had to make many trips to the hospital. They need to check, test, and to get me ready for the radiation. Because you don't just do radiation. I come then, they have to check certain things. I was supposed to be in certain weight, body weight, height, and check all those things. It was many things. And I remember every time we got there, I was sitting, and there's a lot of cancer patients. I was like, Lord, why am I here?
Sure.
It was so depressing going into that room, sitting and watching all what people are going through. It was hectic. Okay, then, remember, we have bookings. I can't sing.
Yes.
We had to cancel
bookings. What do you tell these people?
What do you tell them? And I remember one of our biggest clients, we had two golf days, which we needed to do. I couldn't do where I had to send emails, attach my medical reports, just to make them aware, would say I am not just dropping because some have paid deposits and. So requested, can Colin show up alone? Some said yes, some were like, no.
Yes, because you've established the brand together, so I can understand, you know?
Mm. Yeah, so now, and now also you can feel, Uguti, there's this depression that's coming. Mm. I can feel that there's this hole that I'm getting into. Mm. Now, where I had to realize that, shoo, if I allow myself to go in there, chances of me coming out, it's going to take a lot for me to come out of that. But I thank God for family, the community as well, a church. At this stage now, a church, they knew what was going on, my pastor. Yeah. So we had community of couples that, you know, really show up, pray with us, come in the house. But there was a time where I didn't really want to see people. I was sitting there. But now my kids, yo, guys, you know, sometimes I always say, Unkulunkulu chooses kids that are perfect for us. Ooh. Because I could see now they were more worried. We had to sit them down. Now, when we sat them down, it was after. So at church, we have what we call prayer cards. Okay. So with the prayer cards, you write your prayer request or a praise report. When God has done something, you write a praise report. They read it and we celebrate a prayer request, but you don't write your name. Mm. I remember sitting in front of the church. So I had this, Muruti was reading this prayer card, and the prayer card said, can you please pray for us and pray for my mom that she gets better, that God will heal her, because this has started to affect me at school. Sure. And I remember sitting there, I said to my heart, oh Lord, this sounds so bad. Can you please come through for that family? That was a prayer in my heart, only to find out that it was my son who wrote that card, my firstborn son. And they normally don't tell us, but the teacher's like, I had to tell you, Sis Bongi, because you need to know. Then when we got back home, we sat down with them, spoke to them, and we had to tell them that, you know what, no, I'll be fine. Yes. At least I'm getting help. I'm going to the hospital, then I'll get help. Because now you realize that I was not struggling to hear from my left ear. Yeah. People will be talking, I will not hear anything. So now, even the cars moving the sound, they had to now help me to make sure that my surroundings, I'm aware.
Right.
Yeah, of that when people talk to me, they had to come to my right and to be aware that when I cross where these cars, I don't maybe get bumped by a car because I missed the sound.
It's a safety thing now.
Yes, it's a safety thing. Mm. So, okay. And then the time get closer for me to start now with radiation. So when there was a time where I had to go to the hospital to give the doctor some of the reports I got from the private hospital so that they can start checking in. So she promised me, like, on that day, no, I'll be there. Just bring in such a time, I'll be here. I went to the hospital. When I got there, they're like, no, she's not there. I'm like, how? She promised me that she'll be here. Mm. And they like, the nurses, the sister said, no, for you to not to come all the way for nothing, let me maybe squeeze you in with another doctor just to check on you so that you didn't come here for nothing. And I went through this doctor's room. I met her for the first time. As we were talking, I didn't tell her that I'm a Christian. She didn't say that I'm a Christian. But we found our conversation as we're talking with them, talking to a child of God.
Yes.
And I was talking, she said to me, I don't normally do this with my patients, but if you guys have an altar of prayer, go and intensify.
Ooh.
I'm going to pray for you.
Come on.
Wow. I don't know you, but I felt that I'm going to pray for you.
Yo.
Wow. Go and intensify. Because as I was sharing my story, talking to her, it's like, I have goosebumps. Mm. There is no way that this is it. You cannot sing anymore.
There's no way.
There is more to this. He says, as a doctor, we are physicians, but there is a great physician.
Ooh, come on.
I was sitting there, I was like, this lady, Unkulunkulu, has brought her to just talk to me and strengthen me, my faith, because at this stage, I needed that.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something else. At that time, there were people that we knew in the family that you trusted, where they're like, no, Bongi, you can go, we can't talk to them. you can come in the evening when there's no people, when nobody sees you.
Sure.
If that guy can see you,
you'll be fine.
No, a lot of gospel artists come, they even pastors. They come there, and then there's a certain salt you need to buy. And then they mix that salt. And when we walk out, my husband, I'm like, the God who created salt.
Yay.
There's a God. Now I'm going to succumb to a salt.
A salt.
Come you on. To heal God. Me. Yeah. I leave the God
come on.
Who created salt to go and buy salt and use salt to heal me. I was like, no way. There is no way. Because I realized with you, because when you're that desperation as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I'm like I said, what do you mean I cannot sing anymore? Work has stopped for us. Money has stopped coming into the house. We have children. We have bills to pay.
And like you said, this is your bread and butter.
Yes.
And you being unable to sing now is that's a loss of income.
A loss of income in the house.
A loss of income. And you are spending now.
Right.
Remember, now you are spending. Mm-hmm. There's no income, but you're spending now because you're seeing specialists left, right, and center.
Yes.
And now you have to adjust.
Mm. That so if someone says there's help somewhere, I mean,
exactly.
You know, you'll be tempted to go there. So maybe just to go back a little bit. So now when we came back from New Jersey, so now the song that I heard at the church, I heard the song from the first time there. And then I asked, is this song out there? They say, yeah, the song is available on iTunes, whatever. Mm. So when I got home, I searched the song, found the song, even if there's a video.
Mm.
On YouTube. So now I kept on playing the song in the house. That was before I can find out about the tumor.
Oh, yes, because you didn't know at the time. The song made you feel.
Yes, the song kept making me feel
sad.
Yeah. And others. Now I searched where are these feelings coming from? What is going on? And being a child of God, to pray about it, this cannot just. There is something.
There's something.
Yeah, so I searched and
so
searched
way. So you traced it back to that day.
Yes, so I played it in the house. It was a song that would play in the house. Played it, even in my sleep, I would hear the song in my sleep or hear the song in my sleep. So it's a song by Joe Metal from Ghana.
Oh.
I trust in you. There's no mountain you cannot move. There's no sickness you cannot. I trust in you.
Yes.
You are my God. Oh, guys, that song, one song carried me through a season.
Yo.
So by the time when they announced the news, I had in my heart, I'm like, God was preparing me for what was about to come. That sister, if you think you know, you trust God, let's gear up. You need to trust God. What's about to come, you really need to. Because I realized it is something to say we trust God. Mm-hmm. And it's another when you are going through it.
Yes.
When now the mountain is here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To and trust
now when
him.
You have to trust in God in for that
real.
Situation.
Yeah, for
not
real.
Just talking about
not
it.
Not talk about it, but trust
it
him.
It becomes real.
Yeah, literally. Literally trust God. And then when the news came, I was like, oh, that thing, trust in God, it was that song was preparing my spirit. My spirit was, God was preparing me, Wuti. Sister, you need to trust God. So that was a song then that carried me through the season. So now when the time came closer for me to start with the radiation, I remember the day we were sitting there, and then my doctor comes like, yeah, guys, I wanted to see you. We got into her room. And then she's like, we had a meeting yesterday with the doctors. So the team of doctors said they discussed my plan for radiation. And then they said, you no longer need to do so many radiation sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Your tumor's not cancerous.
Ooh.
It's not cancerous, so we're going to give you one big dose. I remember we both were like, what?
Oh.
Colin was saying, you mean she's going to do one session? She's like, yes, she's going to do
just
from
one.
25 to one.
No ways.
God.
And even them saying it's not cancerous, I think for both of you was probably such a relief.
Yes.
Like, thank God.
Thank God. It was a thank God moment, like literally, thank God.
It's a miracle.
Yo. It's not cancerous.
Oh.
You know, I'm going to do a lot of sessions. I'm going to do one.
Radiation in itself is strenuous
it
to the
is.
Body because it's a big shock.
Yeah.
So just one, it's a huge relief because, like, at least I don't have to do so many.
So many.
Just go through it once.
Yeah.
And
because I said, like, the research I did and them preparing me, yo, guys, it was going to be hectic. It was going to be hectic. And it's amazing, like, also, guys, how my boys were taking care of me. Aww. They were so protective. They were so protective. They were strong. Yes, at first it hit them, but now they were like, okay, they were the ones now taking care of me. And with the dad, okay, fine, the day came. I did that one radiation shot. Okay, when you're in the machine, you will not feel anything.
Yeah.
It was after. And I think on our way home in the car, we picked them from school. Just before we got home, I could feel it kicking in my body. Mm-hmm. I was like, how am I going to go through those stairs? They had to wait for me, like, be patient with me.
Yeah.
One was in front of me, one was at the back, like, taking one step at a time, one step at a time. Now I'm feeling it. I remember the little one when I got into the... Now I'm trying to get into the bed. I can't lift my second leg. What is going on? He literally picked my leg, put it in the bed, and then Colin put pillows because they said I must try to sit up. Guys, what came the few hours after that, I was listening to nothing but pain.
Yeah.
For hours, listening to pain. I felt like, the funny thing, I think because now it's on the left, so they were treating it the side. Because they're saying the radiation, they're targeting the spot where they, because now they're saying their aim is to shrink the tumor for it not to grow. Because they're saying if it grows and goes into certain parts of my brain, we're going to have bigger problems.
Yeah.
So they're trying to shrink the tumor. Now, the headache that I had, it was only got left. It felt like my jaw was coming
like
here.
The pain is swollen. Excruciating.
Yeah. I was sitting there. I was not crying out, making sounds, but tears were running.
That's how painful it was.
I remember there were friends who came to see because they knew we were back from the hospital.
Yeah.
I couldn't see anyone. I could do nod when Colin was talking. I was like, he's like, can I have them? I'm like, no. I'm not ready to see people.
Could you not take something for the pain?
They gave me, but I guess it was one of those because I just can't make the process.
Yeah.
I just had to sit in it and feel it. Sit there, just tears running down, closing my eyes and listening to the pain for hours. Yes, I took the medication. My son was sitting next to me, sleeping. Can I make tea for you? What do you want? I'm like, signaling that I'm fine.
Sure,
yes, it's painful, but I couldn't vocalize it.
Yeah.
I was like, with tears, I'm like,
yo.
I can't remember when I fell asleep, but I remember I woke up. But when I woke up, at least it was better. A few hours later, the pain was better, but my jaw was still swollen. I couldn't chew from the side when I'm eating because I was hungry, trying to eat. I couldn't chew for two days. The jaw was swollen. I couldn't chew. But now the hearing, because they did say to one of the effects is that after that is it affects the hearing. It took some time to really go back to at least better.
Yes.
It was that. And then I had to go back. Then they had to now try and check if it's shrinkile, but now for how long. But now it takes a while for it. It still stays in the body for a while. So I had to wait for three or six? Yeah.
Months?
Mm.
So this entire time you're still not singing?
I'm not.
So you're not working, basically?
I'm not working, literally, for 2 years. I was not singing for 2 years. I was not singing. Guys, even my talking...
Can you imagine how depressing that is?
Yeah.
Because singing is all she knows.
It's your
life. That's all you know.
For 2 years, even my talking voice, Colin would tell you that even you could tell from my talking voice,
It's not you.
Something is wrong. I couldn't sing to save my life.
You couldn't sing at all. Even
like
if you tried.
I can't imagine you not being able to sing.
Exactly. Like that sounds like, guys, what do you mean? I cannot sing. For 2 years, I was sitting there. I'll go to church and sit down. There were days, Sundays, where I would drag myself. to church, especially on Sundays where I feel like I'm not going today, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
I would like, I would drag myself.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a Sunday, Muruti came to our house after that, and they just sat there, and we ate, and then they prayed with us. They left. It's like, Sisbunga, from sitting there preaching, I could tell that you dragged yourself to come to church.
Mm.
It was not easy for you.
Yes.
I would see that those days, days I would see through you, that those days you drag yourself to come to church. Yeah, like I said, I wasn't seeing people.
And what's your prayer to God? I mean, because you gave your life to ministry, to singing gospel.
Mm.
You know, your music has healed people. Your music has ministered to God. And basically that's you, and that's your life.
Yeah.
And now what's your prayer to God, thinking that, God, how do you take away this one tool that helps me worship you, and not me only, but people that you're also ministering to?
Yeah. Because I remember I said to God, I'm like, it can't, this is it. Is like, does it end like this?
Like, what do you want me to do now?
Yeah. Does it end like this? Is it that, like, kupelil? Is it done?
Should I accept or
should
what?
I accept? Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is how the story ends. Mm. This is how my ministry ends. And one thing I remembered yesterday, I tried not to forget. That year before we went to New Jersey, a lot of people don't know, my husband has been on my neck about recording my solo gospel album. I remember reaching out to Muruti for a song, and few people, I was already accepted, because Colin has been nagging me about it, and a lot of people, Bongi, it's time. We were preparing to record my album. And then my voice is gone.
Mm.
Then my voice goes that year.
Like, what?
When I've accepted, I'm finally recording my solo album.
Because it's a big move.
It is.
Huge move.
And I was saying to someone, why wasn't my leg?
Like, anything to be something affects my voice.
Voice, like, gone. What is this? What is this? Yo, I remember my mom sending me prayers. We had to pray. And yes, I asked God, Duguti, but now that I've accepted Duguti, I'm finally going full time. Niwan, mina solo, you know, to minister through song, gospel. And there's like, God, what does this mean? What does this mean? Have you called me? Because now you start doubting. Was I really called? And also the struggles in our industry, you start, now the voices of, there was a voice of the enemy that I was fighting at the same time. Because now I'm sitting, I'm not doing anything.
Yes. So people start talking as well.
Yeah. Like, my sister, you know. But then, guys, there was a time that I couldn't pray anymore.
It was hard.
We have prayer time, me and my husband, an hour. We pray individually, but we have our time together, an hour where we sit and pray. I would literally sit there and watch him pray.
Yo.
Sit and watch him pray.
Yeah.
He'll read the scripture and pray. And like, what do you want to say anything? I'm like, no, I have nothing to say. Because I've prayed, I've said, I can think, there's nothing I haven't said.
What else can I?
What else can I say? I don't have anything. He carried us, he was praying for us, if I have to put it that way.
And I wanted to ask that, you know, because I can imagine the huge responsibility that was on your husband now.
Yes.
Because even for him, this is, I don't know this wife.
Yeah.
My wife has always been well.
Yes.
My wife has always known how to sing. My wife has always been carrying the home.
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay, I need to step in differently.
Mm.
I need to take care of her differently. Like, how was that transition for you? I'm sure you saw a different side of him, for
I
sure.
I did. Man, it was, there were days I saw him. It was hard for him.
Yeah.
There were times I'm like, this man can't take it. He's trying to carry us.
Yes.
He's not okay.
It's hurting him
too. And I remember that year before I got sick, there was a board in front at church in the pulpit. It was a blank board. Muruti said, let's put a black one. Where we, January, beginning of the year, we had to go and write things we trust in God for. What we trusted. I remember one of the things he wrote there, he wrote there and said, I want to be a better husband.
Aww.
So he said, this is what it means for me to be a better husband. He carried me
Sure.
There were times as he was praying, as he was crying, you see that it is hard for him. Mm. Also, Namike in my situation, try to, you know, to be not, you know, show too much Guiana that it's difficult. Yes, it is, but you know, it was hard for my husband.
Yeah.
And also because it's been there for a long time, guys, there were times where I saw that this is where God wanted us to be, me and him, me and my husband. Sure. This is where he wanted us, the both of us, where God met us, just the two of us,
yeah,
without people, without everyone, yeah, without anyone.
Mm.
We got, I remember there was a time we went to Menlyn after a long time to watch a movie. We went to a restaurant, we sat down there and talked, and we cried in a restaurant.
Because
it was in the evening. There wasn't a lot of people. We sat there and we spoke, and we cried.
Just
the two of us. And we went home.
Like
this season is just...
Yeah. I hear you when you say God needed us there at that time.
Yeah.
People, that level of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I mean...
People came, they supported us, but there was a time, it's like Ngati, they were drifting away.
Mm.
It was just the two of us. We went to God. Yes, family helped financially, and some of the people at church financially, Bumuruti helped financially. But there were times where God really came through for us. We can see that this can only be God. But just to fast forward, then now, for some reason, the same church invited us again. They invited us again to come back. And I said to Colin, I feel I need a different environment. I'm going there. We will go. You will sing. I'm not going to sing.
Yeah.
We traveled, went there. Okay, now. Okay, fine. We get there. When we get to New Jersey, first day when we got to the church, they picked us up at the airport. They said, we're going to go to the church, have lunch, then check into the hotel. When we got there, guess who I meet? Joe Metal, the writer.
Of the song.
There's no way.
I heard the song in that church for
insane.
The first time. I'm back again at the same place where everything started. I meet the writer.
No way.
Of the song. I see him.
What are the odds?
Yeah. I don't say anything. We sit down. We have lunch. I greet him. I hug him. I'm like, I'm having mixed feelings. I'm like, ooh. So as we were about to go, they're taking us to the hotel. There's a piano by the door.
Yeah.
And the pastor said, there's a piano. They sat down, they play the piano. Like, guess what he sings?
No!
I trust him. I'm like, you're not going to do this. And I was standing next to the door. My body language was like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be partake. I want to go. And the pastor was looking at me. And then we left. When we came back for the service, they had... They were celebrating their 15-year anniversary as a church.
Okay.
So they had what they call a 24-hour prayer and worship.
Oh, wow.
So it started on a Friday, 8 p.m. It ended on Saturday,
at 8 p.m.
So how they planned it, they had many artists to worship.
Oh.
They had pastors and preachers who were praying in between intercessors. It was seamless. They were not calling each other.
Uh-uh.
You had your time slot. So when that one is about to done, the next one is ready.
Yeah, stand by.
You come in, stand by.
You.
It was like that. So our time, okay, they said, these are your times. Went to the hotel to prepare. They picked us up. When we had lunch the day before, we were with Ntokozo was part of the lineup.
Okay.
Ntokozo Mbatha. So the Mbathas were one of the people who came to the house when they found out what it
was.
Ntokozo was like, what do you mean? We're coming there. They came and they prayed with us. They knew the story.
Yeah.
So when we get there, I remember we're eating, I was saying to Ntokozo, dude, I don't know why I'm here.
Because I can't sing.
You know
what?
So I'm
on the lineup to sing as
I'm
well.
I'm on the lineup as Bongi and Colin.
Sang.
I haven't sang. I'm like, dude, you know the situation. Dogos was like, yo, I know. I was like, and she was like, but for the fact that you're here, God knows what he's doing. She kept on saying, I'm like, Dogos, I haven't sang like almost like 2 years. She was like, she was not really worried, but she was like, you're here. Okay, fine. We went to the hotel. I remember when we got to the hotel, you know, Colin, before we do anything, we prayed.
Yeah.
And I prayed and I said to God, and I was saying to God, God, I don't know why you brought me here, but I could feel in my spirit that there's a reason why God has brought me here, the same place.
There's a breaking here.
Yeah. Mm. Prepared ourselves. They said, we're going to pick you up, guys, at this time. We're like, okay, at least pick up. We want us to be there before we can sing so that we can get into the worship before we get on stage. When we got into the church, Joe Motlo was on stage.
Aibo,
I'm like, what is happening? Okay, fine. He was worship. And then he would worship and pray. And then now when he sang the song again, I trust in you. We were standing in front. And then something in my spirit said, lift up your eyes. Mm. I lift up my eyes. I remember I saw the clock. It was 12 o'clock midnight. Mm. 00:00.
Yo.
My spirit was like a beginning of something new, a new dawn. That was clicking my spirit. Like, God, I'm doing a new thing.
Jesus.
Like completing 360. God said, it started here, 12 o'clock, a new day, new beginnings. Sang the song, I Trust in You.
Jesus.
I'm at the place where I had the song that prepared me for the season that was about to come. I'm back at the same place. Now the song is sung by the artist who wrote the song.
Mm.
12 o'clock, beginning of something
top
new.
Top of the hour.
Top of the hour. I said, there was like, that can only be God. Fine. Now, a pastor comes in to pray just before we sing. He comes and he prays. He didn't say that he's a prophet. He started praying, reading scriptures, praying. So he got off stage. He goes to the pastor of the house. He asked permission to pray for people because he felt by God leading him to pray to certain people. He went to certain people. He passed here, spoke to two ladies, prophesied. And then the other one said, no, I'll talk to you after. Some of the things I cannot say in public. And he was spot on and came to me. He asked my name. That's all he asked from me. What's your name? And I told him my name. He started praying. When I opened my eyes, I was surrounded by a lot of people praying for me. And the time came. They called us to go on stage. I went with Colin.
Come on, woman of God.
Come on.
So now they were streaming live on Facebook. So we in South Africa, they were watching as well. They were streaming live. We sang. I remember there was a time as we were singing. Colin started singing. And I was singing. Little by little singing.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's you know, backing you up. Like,
he's backing my,
you know, he's like,
you don't have to push.
Diva,
he's looking at me like, you don't have to push. You don't have to push. Oh, it's fine. Just keep it there.
Like, don't worry, babe. Keep it there. I got you.
We're singing. Oh, guys, ne? I sang some notes. I remember him looking at me like he looked at me. Mm. And I was singing. The guys we came with, they were standing in front. They were looking at me like, you are singing.
Oh.
I'm like, what is... And imagine, when I missed singing so much.
Yes.
I was like that child. I kept on singing because I missed singing so much. I'm like, what? My voice is coming out. But now I'm careful with certain notes.
Okay, yeah. You don't want
to... I'm saying, we got off stage and Dokozo came. And then the Sunday we sang again. And I remember I sang Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Great Is Thy Faithfulness is one of my go-to song for, it's my song. And then she came on stage, she sang after me. When she was coming on, she was in tears.
Ooh.
She's like, you are singing.
Mm.
I'm like, I know. We are singing. Yo. And one of the things the prophet said when he was praying, he was like, God is working on tumors. I don't know this guy. I don't know this prophet. He's originally from Ghana, but he's now based in the U.S.
Yeah.
One of the things he says, God is working on tumors. He's shrinking tumors.
Imagine.
And saying that. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, don't joke like that.
Sure.
Like, this is serious. And then he prayed for me because I sang. And I came back. I remember time difference. My mom didn't sleep. When we got to the hotel, my mom called me.
Oh.
He was like, boom, we can't sleep. We can't believe what just happened.
We were watching.
Yeah, they were watching.
Sure.
And like, what is happening? And it took God for me to go, but God says, I'm going to take you back where it all started. And then I'm going to heal you there. And that's where the healing started. And then it was a progress then with the voice. It was coming little by little by little. But what I can say now, if I can say, 80, if not 90% of my voice is back.
Praise God.
It is back. And, one other thing, after I've done the radiation treatment, something started where my tongue would lock. My tongue would lock, like the direction of the left where the tumor is at. It will lock, it would go to the back and lock. And then when you're looking at me, you would see the shape.
Oh, like
it would disform. It will lock, it would do that even in my sleep. So one of my fears was that I'm going to choke even in my sleep. So it will randomly do that.
Unprovoked.
Sitting. And then it will lock. I can't talk. When it does that, I can't talk. I have to wait for it. The muscle pulls.
Like,
like it will pull, and I can't talk until it releases itself. Then I can be able to talk again. So when I went to
You see when you have like a stroke, half of your face, where your face just basically loses shape.
It loses direction. Shape. Now, but the tongue is pulled also to the back. So I went to the hospital and I asked one of the professors. They're like, no, that's the disease. That's what it does. That's the disease. And then he said to me, so there's a teacher who had that, and they had to stop teaching because they cannot talk Gahle anymore. They were saying to me, hence, you need to forget about singing. So that thing, disease does. And Nomruti says, no, we're going to pray. We prayed.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, when you are used to something that's happening. And I said to Colin, I'm looking for that thing, it's gone.
It's not coming anymore.
The tongue was not locking anymore. Because it's been happening a lot, even in my sleep. I realized that no, it's not happening anymore. So this is where I'm at, guys. I'm back, back singing again. back and singing again. So, though I'm... I'm still trusting God for that report. I said, the God of miracles we're still serving.
Amen. Come on.
The God who would do the tumor must just go.
Yeah, sure. Completely.
Must not just
completely.
Shrink.
Mm-mm.
It must not just shrink.
It must be non-existent. Yes.
I want to say to we are that generation that will testify of a miracle that has done.
Ooh.
So that's what God has done. The goodness of God to testimony. Of what God has done. I'm standing here as a testimony. Nkulunkulu can still do miracles, guys. Amen. Oh my God.
And you're going to have that recording. And it's just like, listen. Nothing formed against you shall prosper. It's going to happen.
Yeah, no, we picked up as we bring to James Ham, but it was more of a spiritual thing than physical.
An attack, definitely.
Yeah, it was more of a spiritual thing. I was about to birth this ministry, and then the enemy said, I'm going to go for the very thing that she's going to use that instrument to minister to people. Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, in that, nothing that we go through is a mistake.
I
believe everything that we go through shapes us for what is to come. Mm. And you're definitely not the same person that you were before going through this experience.
Definitely.
So which means the message is also going to be different
when
you finally release your music. Because it's not just going to be a song, but it's going to be a message. It's going to be a test and a testimony. And other people won't have to go through it because you've already gone through it. So when you're coming with a message to overcome, you're spreading that spirit already. And so... You had to carry the cross for many too.
And saying that, I remember as they were nagging me for years to record an album, I was like, guys, yes, I would do it, but I felt I needed a message. That's one of the prayers I made.
Yeah.
I'm like, God, I don't just want to release an album.
I want to
give me
a message
for your people.
Mm. Has he not
That's
done it?
That's a prayer I made.
Has he not done it? Before you go, how can we have a worshiper and she doesn't sing one line? We need to testify that what you were saying was real, you know?
But one liner, guys, what do I sing? Many songs are like, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, your mercies I see. And all I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Stop!
You are so good. I could never get used to you singing. Never. Because I was saying the wedding, Yakalebuka Pula, I mean, we were there at
the
wedding.
Yes.
And you sang so well. I'm actually surprised that you sang. You're struggling. We couldn't hear anything.
Because you and your husband were amazing.
Guys.
You're a great host.
The things was going was, there.
Hey. You didn't look like it.
Yo,
don't look like
it. There are those notes that we know. I'm like, I am not going to go there. Yeah. But yeah, here we are again. God is good.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time. God is good. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Your time.
And time is against us. Guys, sorry. I used lockdown. When you started, there was a time, most of the time, when I was not doing anything, I watched your podcast, Kakulu. And I watch a lot of people come through and speak. And through some of the guests that you guys had, helped me to come back and realize that life is spiritual.
Yes.
It helped me to take a position. God helped me through this podcast and speakers that came here to position myself and realize, Uguti, this is not, it's more than what
it is. Looks,
And I had to stand up through this and,
Oh, wow. Sissy. God, to God be the glory forever and ever.
Thank you, Sis Bongi. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
to you and your husband. You guys are such a pair. Nova commented, like, the Instagram says Bongi and Colin. Even on my phone, I saved you as Bongi and Colin. I don't know who I was speaking to. I'm just like,
I don't know
who responded.
Who's this?
Is the husband or is it Bongi? Or
you can't tell.
Hi, the two shall become one. You guys are one for real. Yeah. You are more one than twins, okay?
We
you guys are one,
to go
one.
For
we are twins.
No, thank you so much for watching, and we look forward to hearing your comments in the comment section below. What is your feedback? And I'm sure, just like us, you cannot wait for that album to one day come out.
Yes.
We give God all the glory for what he has done in Sis Bongi's life, and we look forward to everything that he is still going to do. We thank you, and we hope to see you on the next one.
Yes, we'll see you on the next one, as we wish so many, many, many more blessings, and of course their music coming out. Make sure you follow them on all social platforms. Their music is on digital platforms. We'll link it all below. Make sure you support and show them some love. We have come to the end of the show. For myself, Millicent,
and myself, Innocent,
and Sis Bongi, and Colin behind the camera,
and the team.
I've been through the most.